This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts, Jim and Tom. And this is Fantasy Day, as we are going to review two television shows, two TV shows that I guess, like, I didn't put it together that they would not, like, be related, but have the same undertones.
Heavily related, yeah.
And you're watching them, and you're like, oh, wait, yeah, these are...
Yeah, I don't know what our initial reason for putting these together. I guess it was streaming services fantasy shows.
Yeah, but... I was like, you know, Dark Crystal is obviously the cult hit prequel to, you know, what we liked in the 80s. And then Carnival Row was talking all about, you know, it's heavily reviewed on iTunes, or not iTunes, but Amazon Prime. And I was like, let's mash them up. Like, and we did.
Turns out they're cousins. They have the same motivation.
Yeah, kissing cousins on this one. This just Carnival Row is the live action, R-rated Dark Crystal in a sense.
Almost.
Man, if they have a crow person in season two, it would be great. But there are spoilers to come. But before we get into that, I feel like we're gonna have to do this every week now, because every time we start an episode, or we have an episode to record, somebody we like dies.
Oh, Jesus.
Aaron Eisenberg last year, or last week, and this week, Sid Haig.
Yep.
We talked about him, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
About how he's making a miraculous comeback. He's not going to travel much, but he passed away 80 years old. Complications to a lung infection.
I think he was hanging on, but because he kept coming out and saying, no, I'm still alive, nothing wrong.
Yeah, he's like, stop fucking talking about me, but I'm still alive.
Apparently... Because I was reading a lot about the new Rob Zombie movie.
Three from Hell.
Yeah. And he was saying that it was very limited time that he had to film with him. So apparently he was sick in some way. But
well, we had talked about it a year ago, maybe, when we saw the pictures from Monster Mania over here in Cherry Hill. And he didn't look good.
Oh.
And he's 79. And you're looking at it like, he's getting there. He's getting older. He kind of looked like what Stan Lee was looking like towards the end of his life. And it didn't come as a surprise.
No.
But it still kind of sucked.
Yeah.
Because, like,
I
hadn't seen a lot of his early stuff, but, like, the Rob Zombie stuff's amazing.
Yeah, I only know him through the family, and, he's easily become, you know, not thrown around easily, but, like, when you talk about what makes, like, a horror icon, you know?
Yeah.
I think he fits. His character fits.
He quickly went on top of the, like, if you were to mash them all up, he's going to be on there.
Yeah.
And he's the most recognizable face from the three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody knows Baby, but they don't know her face.
Yeah.
They know her in those little baby booty shorts.
Yeah.
And then Otis, you see a long...
I wouldn't know. There's been five or six times I've seen pictures with all of them. I go, who's that guy?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it's Otis. I don't know who he is, because he's got like a bald head and he's shaved. And
he does. He's clean.
Yeah.
And then you see Sid Haig, and you're like,
Sid Haig always looks like...
You're like, that's Captain Spaulding. So RIP, Sid.
Yep.
We'll watch Three from Hell, and we'll have to review it in his honor.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is Halloween coming up, so definitely deserves it.
Yeah, comes out on DVD on October 15th.
Right.
So a couple more weeks, we'll be able to get into that. But then we get hit with some great news.
Yeah.
From bad news to great news, Spider-Man's coming home to the MCU, and I got the breakdown here. He's coming home for one solo movie in July of 2021, and in July of 2021, Marvel regains the rights to Daredevil. Hmm. Would it be a good move to have Matt Murdock, whether it's Charlie Cox or somebody else, be Peter's lawyer if he goes to trial in Spider-Man 3?
Oh, that's perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And it can't be Spider-Man, I'm home.
And not a Daredevil. Maybe you could enter, but you could just have Matt Murdock, and that's it. That's your defenders.
Yeah. Would you still go Charlie Cox, or would you have to start all over?
Oh, yeah, I love Charlie Cox.
Yes,
I don't know if it'll happen, but I do like Charlie Cox's.
And you don't hear anything about his new shows or anything. I know Mike Coulter got a new TV show. Yeah. I think it's called Evil. Simone Messick got a new show, Misty Knight. She's over on CBS doing a judge show.
A guy at work keeps telling me about her because she put on a couple pounds. Not like fat, she just got a little...
Thick with two C's?
With two C's.
All right.
I was like, all right, cool, man. He's like, I love her. I'm like, yeah, I thought she was great before. Yeah. But
all right.
You know, when she had one arm, I thought she was great.
She was awesome in it.
I'm not going to watch that show, though.
No. There's too many goddamn shows. I mean,
it's a lawyer, it's a judge drama, which I don't know if I'm into judge dramas.
No, I'm certainly not. yeah, unless it's the judge from My Cousin Vinny, I'm not watching that drama. And
Rip, what's his name?
Rip
Fred Torn? Munster. Well, that's who he was. But
we have the Marvel getting Daredevil. I go 100% Daredevil. Mm-hmm. Just Matt Murdock, like you said, I would.
Is
be
it
fine
all
with
the
that.
Defenders that they get that day?
I think so.
Okay,
and it would be great if. Oh, get all right. So
I think it's a huge mistake. I think it's a huge mistake if they don't use Punisher and at least Punisher and Matt Murdock.
That's where I was going.
Those two, I think, were the best. The other ones they could work with, but even Jessica Jones, I thought was really good.
Yeah,
I thought
she was
Kristen
really
Stewart was really not Kristen Stewart.
Oh, here we go with a new hour.
Yeah,
Kristen Ritter.
I thought she was pretty good because. Yeah. She has the perfect attitude. She played the perfect attitude.
Yeah, she did.
And they got some really good storylines. Like, Mr. Purple's storyline was awesome.
Yeah, she underrated series. I mean, from a superhero perspective, it was underrated because you don't really see a lot of superhero actions. Mm-hmm. You just see a drunk woman getting banged a lot and then banging on people's doors.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of, like, interpersonal stuff with Malcolm and Patsy and all that stuff.
Yeah, very, very reluctant.
Yeah.
Alias, she was very reluctant in Alias,
yeah,
which it's based on.
So. It was more human stories than superhero stories.
You never see her fly, you never see her, you see her lift stuff, that's the extent of it.
You don't really see her suited up other than the leather jacket and the jeans. Mm-hmm. I'd bring her back, but I like where you're going. So let's say Peter goes to court, best money they could buy is now Matt Murdock, mm-hmm. right? Happy, Tony's dead, so Happy's got Happy money. So he gets Matt Murdock, maybe Matt Murdock's great, you bring him in. And then J. Jonah Jameson hires Punisher to hunt.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
The comic book cover. Bring it to life.
Exactly. And I don't want to waste Kraven in one movie and never see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And if we, we're going to lose all those characters because I think this is it.
I don't know.
Well,
Billions. Look, we thought it was it before.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Disney did, but Disney made it work.
Yeah.
I know what Disney did. They said, look, man, this is going to make... If you work with us and you let us do it, we make you $2 billion.
And the breakdown financially is Disney gets 25% of the profits and Sony will get 75% of the profits and Disney foots the bill on the production.
Yeah.
So they're like, we're going to lose money in this, but we want the character.
Nobody's ever going to lose money.
Yeah, they're probably going to get toy rights. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Disney, they're like, let me take a page out of George Lucas's book.
Well, toys always, I think the toys, I don't know how it works.
That's Funko, that's all that stuff that they're going to be able to bring money into.
I would always think, but what happened, they weren't, Funko had a problem producing some because of who had the rights to
they
what,
can't,
right?
Well, they can't get the contracts for most of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, there's a documentary that Making Fun or something like that where they talked about how hard it was to get the rights to certain things. But, I mean, at this point, everybody's going to Funko because that's a cash cow.
Yeah.
But he's going to be in one Marvel movie of his own and then one MCU appearance. I have no idea what he doesn't fit in anything that's coming up.
Avengers 5?
Yeah. 4, 5, 6?
5.
Yeah.
Well, Endgame.
Yeah.
Well, it was a two-parter, but...
Well, but that's like, 2024, 25 maybe?
Who else is going to appear with? Unless they do a Defender series or something.
Yeah. I mean, maybe...
Or Fantastic Four.
Maybe Black Panther. Maybe Doctor Strange. Because it be in New York for a small period of time.
Yeah, a lot's going on in New York. And to have him not show up and...
Yeah.
I wonder if... I know... This is the downside. I wonder if they're going to use this opportunity to say goodbye to him.
I think so. I think he gets killed.
We'll learn what the future is for Spider-Man if he dies.
Yeah.
I think it's like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah, I think he's going to die.
But if he does it and there's still story left, there's no way. And you know what? This opens a door. And if Sony agreed to this... And they make a ton of money, and they go, okay, well, they are better at this than we are.
Yeah.
And they are, maybe this deal will stretch into the Venomverse. And
yeah, well, that's part of the deal, actually. They said that you have to, in Spider-Man 3, Peter has to make reference to the non-connecting Venomverse. Yeah. It has nothing to do with the scheme of things in the MCU, but he has to make mention to it. And I think this whole deal is relying on, one, is Apple, all these other companies that are vying to buy Sony, or that, is that going to happen? Like, maybe Sony saw the writing on the wall and was like, we're going to get purchased, let's rush this movie, and we'll get it out, and we'll make some money, and then that way
the producers... Up our price.
Yeah, the producers can walk away, right? Or... Is it relying on how good Venom 2 does and Morbius? Because Morbius comes out next year. Venom 2, I think, is possibly next year, too.
Maybe this is the litmus test, and they say, okay, well, what's his deal's worth to us in the long run?
Yeah.
But you should already know that it's worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say the movie's worth $1 billion.
Yeah.
Then, you know... I don't know what you get. I don't know how it's all split, but that's a lot of money.
It is.
And it might be more money than you're making on anything else that year.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to pretty much finance Venom. Mm-hmm. It's going to finance the rumored Madam Web movie that they're trying to roll out.
And every time that you get something, you just pay into it. Like, you know, they could rent Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it.
Yeah, bring back Blockbuster. We'll rent them and, you know. I think that was probably the best news I got all week.
Yeah.
As far as, like, entertainment news. The Kevin Feige wanting to produce a Star Wars movie. I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does, but I'm like, Jesus Christ, I think I'm Star Wars down. I mean...
I hope all the Avengers are in it, because I know Evans and Larson want to be in it, so...
Yeah.
I mean, get RDJ as a Sith ruler. Yeah. That would be awesome. Put him as the bad guy.
I we'll eventually talk about this. I think the right thing to do is... go back 2,000, 5,000 years to like Darth, what is it, Revan or Darth Bane?
Yeah.
He had that carapace. Yeah, you know, we get it. We've seen everything that happens. We see the end, basically.
Yeah.
Just take us back to the beginning if you're going to start a whole new trilogy of movies. So.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the beginning of the Dark Crystal universe. Now, a movie that predates my existence. I mean, that came out in 82. I had seen it when I was a child. I've seen it as an adult. Chelsea has not seen it.
That's crazy.
Chelsea has seen Ghostbusters, Beetlejuice. She hasn't seen a lot of these movies that I enjoy. But Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance comes out on Netflix. Rotten Tomatoes has an 86 as a critic score, 94 as a audience score.
There's a lot of nostalgia score right there.
Yeah.
Not that it's, you know, we'll get into it, but that's definitely nostalgia.
Yeah, and it was announced, and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. They revealed the awesome voice cast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the most recognizable voice casts.
Because the original was like five voices from Jim Henson's Monster Factory.
It was Frank Oz doing 35 voices. And you're like, oh, Jesus, Yoda's in this, Fozzie's in this. And then this one, you know, you roll out Taron Egerton, who couldn't be hotter without with Rocket Man. You know, you have Natalie Emmanuel, you know, Natalie Dormer, Anya Taylor-Joy, all these people that when you see their faces, you're like, yeah, but then you hear the voices and you're like, I was playing the guessing game. I was like, I knew Mark Hamill was a scientist.
Yeah.
Chamberlain, Simon Pegg was.
Yeah, I didn't know any. The Skeksis is the plural, I think. I didn't really know who they were. I didn't know who really anybody was. I mean, I had to look, and I was like, okay. But, I don't think they're really recognizable voices.
Mark Hamill was.
Yeah, but they put on a big, you know.
Absolutely. And like, later in the season where you meet the Heretic and the other, the Wanderer.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg and Bill Hader.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't put those together. But let's talk about the pros for a second. What did you find as like some things that you liked about the series?
Well, they stuck to the puppets. The only the background's green screen, but the puppets are still puppets, which was real big pro. I'm going to compare it real quick to, have you watched any of Disenchantment?
I love it.
Me and Binks have binged the whole thing. And
I haven't watched season 2 yet, but I love season 1.
And the reason I bring that up is, as I'm watching, I'm like, wow, it's like watching a show from the 90s. Because they don't use a lot of the new techniques. It's kind of like dirty. Yeah, when they're doing something complicated, it's a little sketchy on screen. It's like, It's an anime TV show. That's right. That's how it used to be. It wasn't like watching a movie.
Yeah, it's like early Simpsons.
Yeah. And this felt the same way. It was like, oh, this is like it used to be.
Yeah.
The backgrounds are cleaner and brighter and it looks better, but it's because I think the old one was set up on like a stage.
Yeah, it was like in somebody's garage.
Yeah, and it was all, you know, built sets.
It was Frank Oz's garage.
Well, at the Monster Factory.
Yeah.
Right? Or, it's what it was called, wasn't it?
Monster Factory, isn't it like Bam Bam Bigelow's?
No, it's it's in New Jersey, but it's
King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, King Kong Bundy.
Yes, right.
Wrestling school, not a plug, but I guess go there if you want.
Yeah,
But that was a huge one. They kept that and they stuck really close to the source material.
Yeah,
you know, the original. It was fun watching them and kind of watching this whole universe that filling in a lot of blanks that we didn't know.
Yeah.
Like how they got there, and they do a great job because they have a lot more time to fill all these blanks in.
Yeah, because you're going from a, 90-minute movie?
Right.
To a 10-hour movie.
Yeah.
Which was, and we still don't know if it gets a season two because Netflix isn't like Amazon and says like, we're going to renew this, but.
Yeah, well, we get into kind of the review slash our take on it is when I'll have a couple of, you know, things to say about what could be a season two, but
yeah, I agree with you, man. The puppets were the best. Mm-hmm. The first episode, I think I watched it at the wrong time. I was watching it like giving blood, and then like on my lunch break, and I had so many distractions. It took me 2 weeks to watch the first episode, like to get through 40 minutes, and then like once everything started clicking, I was like, this is where now I'm in.
When we had talked about it like 2 or 3 weeks ago, doing this. I had the same problem.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I got to start watching it. But it didn't immediately hook me in. But, you know, that's because of a lot of reasons, but.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I feel like it's hard for nostalgic shows to kind of hook you in. Like, you're watching, like, we go from Capes and Cows, the Expanse, all the broad space stuff that we watch, and then it's like, boom, let's go 1,000 years in the past, puppets. And you're like, all right, well. It takes a minute. There's that kind of adjusting period. It's like sticking your toe in a pool and then you get in it. I like the puppets. I thought, you know, it's definitely a throwback, like you said. And you're watching it and you're like, this is an art.
Yeah.
This is 100% an art. And it takes, you know, you and I will always.
It's a very bygone medium.
Yeah. And we'll focus on like who played who, like with Mark Hamill, Simon Pegg, and Jason Isaacs, these guys. But there's other people behind them. Mm-hmm. Like, the puppeteers are the unsung heroes. It's like stunt people in the superhero movies that we talk about. I just think, like, going through the whole series, that the story was super clean. Mm-hmm. And it's unlike any other story that we've seen before where we actually see a hero and a villain.
Do you think that's because they already knew the ending?
I guess, yeah, because you are watching something that you already know the end game for, right? It's like watching Endgame and then rewatching. Or just starting over with the MCU.
You kind of knew where it had to go.
Yeah.
And they establish it's well, I don't know what they ever say, but it's 1,000 years. It takes place in the 1,000-year period between when the Skeksis show up and then when Dark Crystal, the original Dark Crystal, takes place. So in that 1,000-year period, this takes place. It doesn't say when, but
probably. Yeah. I guess that would be my biggest con going into it, is because you're watching it and you're like, I'm going to spend 10 hours on something that I already know the end result for.
Well, that's the thing, is you get through it and you go, okay, I want to see how it turns out, but that is how it turns out.
Yeah, for somebody who hasn't seen Dark Crystal, you're like, oh, shit, like, this is great.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, this Chamberlain is a scumbag.
Maybe that's how they reintroduced the original Dark Crystal, is watch this, then watch that, and you go, okay.
And they're both on Netflix now, so if you haven't watched either of them, you can now watch one and then see the end.
It's a con for somebody like us and me that's seen it. I think I saw it probably every year, at least once a year. I saw it when I was growing up, and you know, since it came out, I've probably, you know, I can't count how many times I've seen it. So it's like, okay, well, I know, I know the story already. I know where this goes, and that's kind of what we were going to lead into, is knowing that, and knowing that how this season progressed, what is the season two? They can't fight it. That fight takes place in Dark Crystal.
Season two, I think the next step is, at the end of this season, we see You know, there's a big battle, all the Skeksis go. You start to see that Chamberlain is becoming more powerful right. behind the scenes. He kills the general, and then you get to a point where the scientist is, you know, all the Skeksis...
developing the weapon.
And the weapon is, I can't remember their names, the Grogian and the Arachnids. And he puts them together, and it's this giant fucking coconut crab helper monster that comes out. And then the Skeksis are all like, ah, and they're so excited. The best thing to come out of the whole battle was Awkwafina's character getting demolished because she was the grossest thing ever. It's actually what I'm like in the morning. Like allergy season, I wake up and I feel like that. But the season two is probably going to be, I would imagine, I feel like Mira needs to come back. Like, I need, like, a ghost or, like, they get reincarnated. They're back in with Thrall. And you have the Rhiann-Mira-Deet triangle.
See, I was thinking that this is prequel. You have Dark Crystal. Now, what happens after Dark Crystal?
No. They're going to go... I think they're going to go all the way up to Dark Crystal.
Okay.
Because they need... There's a lot going on with Deet after the battle. And, you know, Rhiann... Is Rhiann going to be all Madra now? Because he proved battle, like he proved that he was the like the beast of everything. Which
what I another pro is you never really understand the Skeksis. Like in the original, you only see 8, and this one I think you see 10, right?
Yeah.
10 or 11, and you see how you know they fight each other and they kill each other. But you really they're not in they're an entire race, but there's only 8 to 10 of them. You see how they but they exist. They've been alive for thousands of years already. They say that.
Because of obviously because of now they're prolonged another 1,000 because of the Dark Crystal.
So I like that they kind of go into that more.
Yeah.
Instead of them just being the big bad guy that you see in Dark Crystal, like I said, like or like you said, with 10 hours they can explain a lot more.
Yeah.
Backstory, which is good, but that's what I'm worried about. Is you know now where do we go? But
yeah, I think the season two is going to focus heavily on Deet. Who,
in
my mind, MVP of the entire season. Everyone, like, I was reading on the reviews and they're like, oh, Rhiann is the best. I thought Rhiann was a punk. For the most part, I think, like, he's the scorned lover, so you got to go back and do that. But Deet was just on her quest to stop all the bullshit.
Yeah.
And she comes out, the most
whole,
damage.
Like, that fantasy, you know, that Dungeons and Dragons, you know, group that got assembled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she was the one that kept it working.
Yeah. I liked her. I liked Gurgin better than Rhiann. I loved Pod.
Yeah.
But he was fantastic. still, he needs to be, in season two, needs to be turned into a paladin at this point. Like, he was with the Heretic and the Archer, who was awesome. Just, like, the long, like, ostrich person who just started shooting things. I like the explanation between, like, how the Skeksis and the ancient ones, I guess, were one being, and then they separated into the two, and that's how the Skeksis became.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a pretty cool backstory. And I think...
But they need to tell us more about, is that it for the Skeksis? Like,
oh, no, I think there's much more to them.
Well, no, I mean, physically, is that all there is? Just the 8?
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, so and do I.
I think we're down to 8 at this point, because they...
Well, that's what
the general was killed, and now we might down. Maybe we have 10 still.
So no, we have. We should.
Oh, Awkwafina's dead.
Yeah,
thank God.
Yeah, it was gross.
Yeah, she was awful. Oh, and the hunter's dead.
Yeah,
so there's your 3. So now we're down. We are down to 8.
Yeah, Awkwafina's character was gross, and you're right. Like, as a lifelong allergy,
Wake up, you're like, I need the elixir. Yeah.
After I take a shower, it's like the pressure gets to me and I sneeze like that. But there's 8 in the Dark Crystal movie. Yeah. So maybe that's it. But that's why we were talking beforehand, like, and we'll get into the how these are alike, but they're like the one percenters.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was intentional, but back in 1982, it wasn't. But.
Yeah, I think now it is definitely, because you definitely see the classism. You see it's Skeksis, Gelfling, Podlings, the gobbles.
I mean, it's down to...
it's classism in
classism
the
and
Gelflings.
Slavery
yeah.
and, you know, pre, you know, Revolutionary War type America. So
And we lead into that at this point with the Seven uniting, and that's a good moment when everybody kind of comes in and like, we stand with you, and like the arachnids join, and you're like, oh my god, the spider people are. And it's just the, I think we are more than eight Skeksis now, because the Emperor is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know in Dark Crystal, Chamberlain becomes the Emperor. So we will have to see the rise of the Chamberlain, and I think that's important.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. There could, yeah, you know, you're right, is his gradual, you know, Game of Thrones-esque, you know, stomping out competition or him weaving his way in there. And, you know, there has to be something after the Dark Crystal.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Season 2 maybe takes place 500 years later.
From this point?
Yeah. Go 500 years, you establish a new Almadra, you establish a better balance with, like, the Arachnids and the Gelfling, and they're coexisting, and all that stuff's happening, and the Skeksis are still plotting. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't start a revolution as a Skeksis perspective with one of these monsters. So now they have to make more of them. So you go 500 years from now, and then Season 3, which would essentially be the Dark Crystal, is, again, 500 years later, and that's how your time jumps. And you can kind of lead up to that.
Yeah, it's...
do you want a second Dark Crystal, though? Like a sequel to that?
Yeah.
With this production team?
Yeah, with the way this looked, you could say yeah. I mean, they haven't ruined the... The way this came out, yes, definitely. Not a reboot. You know, you could do a direct sequel to it, I think.
I say do it on Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, it works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the numbers. I don't even think Netflix knows the numbers, but...
Who knows?
I know that I rank it closer to the audience score than I do the critic score. Yeah. But, I mean, 86 isn't anything to scoff at. It's a pretty good ranking.
Yeah.
Where do you put it? More audience or critic?
No, I really liked it. You know, I'm not surprised I like it, because I knew that... how much I like the original Dark Crystal, and the fact, you know, knowing that they are keeping everything kind of the same, same team, and getting all the, you know, paying a lot of attention to, you know, the puppetry and not ruining that. I'm closer to the audience score, and it just meant more. It's kind of more relevant now than it was even in 1983. This is something that makes more sense now than it did then.
And I think I read somewhere that the kid from Labyrinth worked on this.
Oh, okay.
I think he's either a puppeteer or like a set designer or something like that. He was part of it.
That's crazy to go from Labyrinth to this.
Yeah, I mean, he stays with the Jim Henson family.
Yeah.
I hope that this is kind of like the revamping of the Jim Henson universe. You know what I mean? Disney Plus was supposed to have the Muppets.
Yeah.
They canceled it before it even launched. Which is disappointing, because I love the Muppets, but I would like to see. I mean, we're never going to see Labyrinth 2. Like what goes on with Jennifer Connelly 40 years later. But you know, I would like to see. I'm with you. Like more Dark Crystal stuff, Season 2 for sure, and then maybe do a sequel. What do you do 1 to 5? Where are you at?
This is really good, but only because I don't know. I know the ending. It's hard. It's hard for me not to get away from it. So I'll say 4.5.
I went 4.6.
Yeah.
When I've been watching a lot of Barstool Pizza reviews. That's my rabbit hole lately. And I'm trying to do the rating like
that. Yeah, there's 10 points in between it. You want to make sure you use.
I
4.72.
Yeah. I loved it. And I can't wait for more. I can't wait for that announcement.
Yeah,
where it's like, oh, Season 2 is coming back.
And they probably will make, I don't know, maybe it'll make an announcement soon.
Yeah, probably around Christmas.
Yeah.
We'll get like a Dark Christmas, Dark Crystal Christmas.
Dark Christmas is good. But.
Yeah. Speaking of, they're making another Black Christmas, a movie that shouldn't have existed or been rebooted. I saw the first one in theaters, and I'm pretty sure Katie Cassidy was in it.
Oh, boy.
What a trash movie that was. And they're like, oh, we're making it again. But Blumhouse is doing it this time, so I'm excited
maybe.
For that. I would be all for, honestly, a Dark Christmas. Dark Crystal Christmas. Like what they're doing at Christmas time, like a Thrall Christmas.
Yeah, I just looked it up, yeah. Carrie Ells is in it.
Oh, great.
And Imogen Poots.
Oh, awesome. The best name in Hollywood. Also, I know we're talking Christmas, and I don't know why we're here, but do you see Jon Favreau wants to do a Star Wars Christmas special? He said he's fully behind directing a Star Wars Christmas special.
Shot for shot remake.
Oh, that would be awesome. That would be so good. But let's move on. Let's
and
move.
Just make it a Mandalorian commercial in the middle instead of the...
That's the mid-season break.
Yeah.
Let's move away from the Dark Crystal and into... I mean, what are we saying? Like 400 years in the future?
I don't even know. They had electricity, and they had umbrellas. They had parasols.
Yeah.
Multicolor. And they had the metal clickers.
Yeah.
They had the metal clickers that released. I was like, was that in my head? Like, because I was thinking it's like anachronistic, and I was like, I don't know when this is taking place, and they have electricity, and I don't even know when the metal switch for umbrellas was invented, so I don't know.
They gave like a weird timeline. Their narrator was not the Sigourney Weaver narrator for Dark Crystal. It was like, here we are in fantasy Ireland.
Yeah, nothing's the same. So
yeah, but we're moving to Carnival Row.
Well, their island's called
Tiernanog.
Yeah, which is
like it's the Irish fairy realm.
Yeah,
there's a great Batman and Wonder Woman storyline about Tiernanog and the fairies that came out last year. It's a miniseries.
Tiernanog's it's also a chain of bars.
Carnival Row is sitting at a 56% on Rotten Tomato critic score and 87 on audience score, which is a pretty big difference. Yeah. But let's do our pros and cons for this one. Where were you at with the pros?
Pros...
Definitely Cara Devlin, right? Was a pro.
Well, she wasn't a con, though.
No, she wasn't. I was surprised. To be honest with you, I was worried going into this recording today. I was like, Tom's going to come in here and say how much he hates Cara Devlin and how bad she was in this. And I was like, I'm going to have to defend it because I actually liked the series.
No, she wasn't bad. There wasn't... Well, Orlando Bloom's a pro.
Yeah.
I thought he... carried the series. Mm-hmm. It's not like I haven't seen everything he's done, but it's not, he doesn't look or act like anything he's done before.
Yeah,
he's not Legolas in this.
Mm-mm. Although I told you, when he was running across that roof chasing down that man who they called Jack, I was like, if he had that bow and arrow,
there's a million times we'd go, god damn it, Legolas would have got him.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah, the Dark Asher would have been dead. First round, like first episode, we would have had that problem.
This has been a half an hour TV show.
Yeah,
he's a big deal. I think he really carried this.
Yeah, I do too.
And another pro, we always talk about. I love like well established universes, like really immersive.
Yeah,
to the point where they don't. Their months are different. Their years are different. Their days have a different name. All the countries are different, and all, you know.
Yeah, they don't. They don't have a. They don't call their god Jesus.
The martyr, which is, I like that too, because it's kind of like tongue in cheek, saying, you know.
Yep.
He's just a martyr.
Yeah.
And he's hung, like literally, he's hung. I don't. They don't get into that. But
they were in the boys' home, and I was like, is there someone hanging right
every
there?
Every time they went into what it basically equates to a church, it's a picture. Spoilers. I guess we'll...
Yeah, we spoiled that in the beginning. We said
you'll have to say spoiler.
Yeah.
you'll have to add in a spoiler somewhere. But, anytime they went into the church or whatever institution, and, like, they never explain it. But you see somebody hanging. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, that's their God. That's their Jesus. And then it makes you think about Jesus. Like, yeah, we're just watching a guy get tortured.
Yep.
That's all you got hanging around your neck.
Yeah.
Is a torture device.
Yeah, what people, like, a cruel way to kill somebody.
Yeah. And, it relates,
Yeah.
To that's how I see things anyway. But, that was pretty cool graphic. And they don't spend time like ever telling you what this thing is, like the words for a year, I can't recall what it is, or the words for the days of the week.
Yeah,
they just said, you know, they trust that you're smart enough to just get in there and figure it out.
Yeah, they're like, play along if you can.
Yeah,
if you can't keep up, don't watch.
Yeah,
because they don't even introduce, like, they introduce a whole different breed. That, like, they have the Picts. I'm just gonna start using slurs.
The Picts are a different type of human, though, right?
They're fairies.
Just another race.
They're Pixies.
Oh,
Cara Devlin is a Pix.
Who are the ones that they're fighting in the dirigibles?
That's the Pact.
The Pact.
The Pact
are another race of humans.
Yeah,
right?
They're just it's Germany, United States.
Right.
So the Borg, the Borg.
Borg.
The Borg.
Yeah, because we're what do you call them?
The bourgeoisie.
We're Borgmen.
Yeah, they were the good guys essentially that we think, right? But the Pact are the ones that, you know, they killed all the they had the concentration camps of of the fairies, and that's where we meet Cara Devlin with, you know, at some point I'm like, oh, it's Harley Quinn's hyena that's running after him, and that later three episodes later we figure out that they're using werewolves as their pets, and I thought that was really cool. And they just bring in, they introduce all these different species. So you have the werewolves, the pixies, the pucks, which are just like, are they sent? They're not sent. They're not centaur people, but they're half goat, half.
The pucks are, they're pan. They're basically, I can't remember what he is. Fawn? No. What do they call
fauna?
No. I can't remember what they're called. Okay. But, you know, they're basically pan.
Yeah.
They're
from like Percy Jackson and the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got
Or Greek mythology.
Yeah, I got you. I went Alexander Daddario movies. Yeah. But they introduce these and they're like, we're not going to give you a backstory on them.
Yeah.
Like, we'll give you some context and, like, my favorite episode was the flashback episode.
Oh, yeah.
Three, where you see Orlando long hair and, you know, it. You know, Chelsea's like, that's your favorite episode because Kara's naked. And I'm like, that's not my favorite episode.
First of all, she's naked a lot.
Yeah. Everybody's naked a lot in this movie, in this show. But I liked the story building. And it was the thing that set that episode over the edge for me was the introduction of the werewolves and explaining why Darius was in the prison.
Yeah.
Because, at first I was like, okay, Darius is in this prison because he was a brutal soldier. And I thought he was in there like the butcher.
Yeah, but none of that matters.
Yeah,
brutal soldiers don't matter, and they tell a lot of story by not giving you backstory as much as like expanding on relationships and how those relationships affect each other.
Yeah,
because we, you know, not all the Fae like each other.
Yeah,
not all the humans like each other. None of the humans like some humans like Fae, but you know, all the relationships are different. They don't ever go well. Back in 3,000 years ago, they do kind of explain that. They explain, you know, up to, you know, 500 years ago, you thought we were make believe.
Yeah,
they do say that like twice.
And yeah, Sophia talked about that. Like,
yeah,
that's when I thought, like, you had talked about this with me before we got on, but the last names like Longerbane and Spurngrows.
Yeah, I loved them.
Yeah,
it's like a name generator.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like your first. Your first road and your favorite flower, and you're like, oh, okay, I got it. But when she's in Parliament and she's talking about, you know,
how black people are,
yeah, like she was like from the desert.
Yeah,
she was like, I'm
so it'd be like Arab people.
Yeah,
or something.
I have desert skin, and you never thought that, you know, we would be in a position of power like this. And then she goes into about the Fae people, and then she's like, boom, fuck the Fae.
Yeah,
and I'm like, holy shit, like your best friend
she
is
like,
a Fae.
She goes, you know. Should we treat them the same? And it's like, pause, beep, beep, beep. Like, fuck them. No, we shouldn't.
And part of it is like, what I've noticed, like Amazon series.
Very twisty, this show.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're watching it and you're sitting there and you're like, okay, it's a fantasy show, but it's a love show wrapped inside of a drama, wrapped inside of a thriller, wrapped inside of a mystery. And you're Sherlock Holmes through this whole thing. And the thing I noticed about Amazon is the background noise is extremely loud.
Yeah.
The speaking roles are extremely soft. So, like, I'm watching it on three different TVs, and I'm trying, like, my one TV has the sound bar hooked up all the way to the top, and then, like, then they go into a battle, and I have to turn it all the way down. And then they're starting to talk to each other, and it's a whisper. I watch it with the captions on.
So, yeah, like, so do I.
So I'm watching it, and I'm like, it's like, dot, 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 fuck you. And I'm like, oh, I know where I'm at now. Like, I saw this. But one of my pros was the same as yours, is the established universe.
Yeah,
like you're just immersed into this, and there's really no story building episode. It's just like, this is where we're at, this is our hero, this is our villain, this is the politics, boom, choose your own destination.
Yeah. And you know, calling him, he is a hero,
Philo.
Yeah but he's only slightly better. Well, no, he's actually better than most people.
Yeah,
but there are no good people in this.
Yeah, like, you're watching.
There's blood on everybody's hands, and there's no real good people, and nobody knows how to have. Like I said, like, relationships kind of, like, dictate where the story goes, but nobody has like a sane, normal relationship with anybody else.
Yeah, because you meet Philo and you think like, okay, this is the only human who understands the Fae. He's the Fae advocate. He's out there. He's got the Puck Doctor as his friend. He's obviously had sex with a pixie. You know, he cares about these people. And then he's like, well, surprise, spoiler alert, I'm a half Fae.
Yeah.
And that, like, the mystery with inside the mystery was really good. Because now you're watching a crime drama.
Right.
And you think you have Jack the Ripper, but you have essentially Davy Jones with a minotaur body.
Yeah.
Or a centaur. Yeah, minotaur. And, you know, he's gutting people, stealing their livers, and you're like, this is awesome, but who's controlling the Dark Asher? It was a very, very strong opening to a series. One of the strongest I've seen in a very long
time. Yeah, yeah, this was really good, and didn't know, like, what we were getting. Didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, oh, we gotta do it for this. It wasn't on my list to watch, because Kara.
Yeah.
Then, it, like, as you learn about more and more who's in it and what it's about, and you know, here's what we were talking about is, it's, this is definitely about classism,
yeah,
refugee versus immigrant, you know, the ruling class not allowing immigrants or refugees in. Once they, the good guys who are pro-Critch or pro-Fae, still treat them as if they're a second-class citizen. Even like, in our, you know, our constitution, you know, black people were 3/5 of a man.
Yeah.
And 3/5, you know, that's how they were able to, you know, control them, and that's how much power they had.
Yeah, the justification was, you're not slaves, you're indentured servants.
Right.
Like, you're buying your freedom to get onto these boats. It's very early, you talked about it with Dark Crystal, it's very early America.
Yeah.
And where you see the Borge is essentially Ellis Island.
Yeah. It's a real good, like, metaphor or analogy to, like, right after, you know, right post Civil War.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, they said they were free doesn't mean,
yeah,
you know, they were valuable citizens. And
yeah,
that's kind of the same thing. And it's kind of scary. But then there's still things that are real, you know, they don't hide the fact that it closely relates to the, you know, immigrant situation. Yeah. And maybe the immigrant situation all over the world. I mean,
the last episode,
I only know so much about America, but
yeah, the last episode is 100% today's political climate.
Right.
Where you're like, okay, if you don't have papers, you're gone. Like, you're now in a ghetto. There's a scene, like, everybody who died in the show, in all the shows that I watched, everybody who died in these shows, I was like, oh, that's okay. But when the street performers, little friends,
get taken,
got deported.
Yep.
I almost,
son of a bitch,
almost cried.
Yeah.
At that point, when the bear got sacrificed, I was done. And then you're like, oh, they're going to eat the little dog, little Biffy or whatever his name was. But the dog was safe. There was a lot of unnecessary animal killing in this.
Yeah.
The elk, the horse with the werewolves.
The old hag, or, like, was she a puck witch or whatever, fey witch? I don't know.
Yeah, she looked like an old siren.
Yeah, she was freaky.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's two things that, like, one, she can see everything, right? So she's be able to see things coming. And then, like, to put that into perspective with the elf, a Gelfling, you should know who's the bad people.
Right.
You see these giant fucking bird crow things with snot pouring out of their mouths and claws and weapons, right? And the Gelfling are like, oh, these are our gods. Like, these are the best.
You know, it's...
Stevie Wonder knew that they were bad. He saw that they were bad.
Both of these are kind of analogous to, you know, how could you worship anybody or anything?
Yeah.
Literally anybody or anything.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a little bit of ignorance mixed with hope.
Yeah, well, the witch is like, oh, I've known you since you were a little girl, Piety. I know that you're great. But meanwhile, she's asking how to kill people. She's like, well, how do I kidnap my son and you know, make sure that he doesn't know it's me? Well, one, don't wear your heels.
Yeah,
like, you're the only clack. Yeah, you seem to be the only person in this whole entire town that wears heels, and your son knew.
But you were talking about background noise. A lot of background noise and background stuff became really important as the story progresses. Her heels were real important. Mm-hmm. And after they introduced that, they made sure every time that somebody was walking by him, they kind of like focused on at least yep. two or three steps. Yep. So you get, okay, he picks up on it, but you do realize no one else has her shoes on.
Yeah.
You know, it's a kind of a, you know.
Yeah, we see Imogen for seven episodes too long, and you don't even hear her moving.
Right.
Like, she's silent. Even Argaeus, who has hooves, you don't hear him trotting along.
Right.
But you hear Piety walking through everything.
And then every other time, like, he pays attention to, yeah, Imogen. Useless character. The only bad thing, I think. But, like, who's the daughter? The Longerbane.
Sophie Longerbane.
You hear her walking, but she doesn't have it. Then you hear other people, just mm-hmm. like, he's taking people out of the like yeah. equation, like who it isn't that kidnapped them.
He solved that. So, like, he's Jonah's great. He kind of wages war against the Fae because of what the Pucks did. What he thinks the
he wants to be a politician.
Yeah, but he doesn't know anything. But like, he's not book smart. He's street smart. But he's also got to prove to his family, like, you know, that he's worth it, even yeah. though he's not. He's a bastard.
You grew up in his house, yeah.
Well, not bad. He's a child of infidelity.
Yeah, yeah. If you grew up in his type of situation and raised the way he was by the people that raised him, then you would see what he does isn't bad. It's just the way the world is.
Yeah.
It's the way politicians work to make things better, quote-unquote.
Yeah, he's definitely well-versed in it, too, because, like, we talked about him solving his kidnapping immediately.
Yeah.
He also solves a blackmail letter, and yeah. he realizes that it's Sophie who set everything in motion. Sophie knew that Pilo was Jonah's half-brother.
Right.
And
she does say she hears the secrets in the walls.
Yeah,
so.
Because she was kept away. And she wrote a letter to Jonah's quote-unquote father, who was the commissioner, I guess, wrote a letter to him, but the mother intercepted it, sent a Dark Asher yeah. against Aislinn.
Yeah, this is like top-tier, next-level type of political intrigue.
Yeah.
And backbiting.
Yeah.
You know, compare it to whatever your favorite, you know, politics show is, and this is right up there with it.
It's House of Cards with
yeah.
fairies.
Yeah. Because nothing is unimportant once you start watching. You're like, oh, yeah, they did say that was a clue. That was a clue.
Yeah.
This was a clue. And
Everything links.
My favorite reveal, you knew about half an hour or, you know, three episodes before they reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they reveal it, which is, you know, who his mother is, you yeah. go, oh my God, yeah, I remember all that. That it's so good that I don't even want to spoil it, but that's what we do. We do spoil yeah. stuff. But.
And it kind of goes back to where we're at with the heels. The music everywhere that Pilo went, it started to play along. And he starts, mm-hmm. he hears the song, and he remembers the lyrics, and then
yeah.
it kind of triggers a little, not PTSD, but memories. Mm-hmm. And it gets him to the point where he's like, oh, I'm going to put everything together.
Right, he remembered hearing her voice. And he plays the recorder, yeah. and you're like, oh, yeah, well, why do I like it so much? What makes it mm-hmm. so important to me?
Yeah, the thing about this show is it's from directors that we know.
Mm-hmm.
Thor Frondenthal did three episodes, right? He did episodes 1, 2, and 4. And I knew the name, but he's done pretty much everything that we watch.
Right.
Arrow, Flash, Supergirl. He did three episodes of The Expanse, The Tick. Diary of Wimpy Kid, Quantico, Legends of Tomorrow. He does Percy Jackson. He's immersed yeah. in these franchises. But and then you have like John Amiel, directed The Core, Entrapment. He did the last two episodes of this. He did, which were some of the best ones. Andy Goddard, who did the Defenders stuff that right. we talked about earlier. But the thing is, I went to the producers and I was like, somebody has to be involved in this that knows the connectivity in a universal build, right? Mark Guggenheim.
Huh.
I didn't, like, I follow Mark Guggenheim on things, and I didn't realize that this was part of yeah. his work. He's the reason why Arrow was
right.
got started in the whole CW universe, and now he's with this.
Yeah, he knows how to build.
Yeah, and he did he joined onto a good team, because this yeah. is, man, this was a gem. Diamond in the rough for me.
Yeah, and as you're watching it, it's weird to say this, but the Fae aren't uniquely powerful. Yeah, the fairies can fly and this and that, but they don't have, they're no more or less human than anybody else. They die just like, they live longer, but they die.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else. And you kind of like, you forget or you stop caring that they're who they are. They're just a tortured race, or they're just a, you know, a trod upon people. So
yeah, they have different abilities, but you don't really, like you said, you don't really see them. Like yeah. They fly when they want to fly, but it's essentially street performers. These people, it's Coney Island.
Yeah,
it's their boardwalk. You know what I mean? You walk down there on the off season, and you're seeing people with nails in their faces and shit like that. Yeah. You're seeing body modification here with the horn. Like obviously the horns weren't modified, but it would be in today's climate. People with huge gauges and, you know, the forked tongues and people who do body mods, you're seeing them. It's more about them than their abilities or their looks. And I think that was a good point, like kind of make the quote unquote unhuman Pete characters more human than the humans.
Yeah. It's just to highlight that, you know, you can't deny that humans have and will act like that.
Yeah.
They still are.
Yeah, humans will act like animals.
Yeah. And so you might not be sympathetic to, you know, everything, and you might have a problem with, like, its portrayal and what it means and, you know, how it affects you politically or how it relates to politics, but it's real.
Yeah.
You can't deny that it's real.
Yeah, and season two is going to be super intense, I think, just with the kind of the us against them mentality and people just trying to.
Yeah. Fight. And you know, we just talked about The Wire not too long ago. I feel like this is going to be another kind of Wire situation where each season kind of is related, but focuses in a different spot. And I still think all the focus is going to be on the top five characters, but I think, you know, more Black Raven stuff, which they were also,
You don't see them
more of the cult. I guess they're a cult.
I think that there's going to be a tension between those two.
Yeah.
They haven't interacted yet, but you have the cult that are making themselves evidently clear to the people, the normal folk. And you have the Black Raven who are in the shadows. Right. And they're like, you're going to fuck this up for everybody. And once the Black Raven, you know, they're cutthroat. They already said, like, they'll cut your wings off. They'll cut your tongue out.
See them regularly kill people.
Yeah.
Kill their own kind.
Yeah.
More than they kill anybody else.
And you don't see them from the last time Vin is told to get the flag. That's the last time you see him.
Yeah. Well, where she has to kill.
Yeah, she has to kill the guy who wants to fuck her.
Yeah.
And then she takes his job and you keep it moving. What were some of your cons as we kind of wrap this up?
Cons? One con. I don't think it had great production value.
Yeah.
I think some of the CGI was kind of...
The flying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of choppy.
Yeah, anytime they went into an action scene or fast scene, it was a little iffy, but...
Yeah, the flying was a little choppy for me.
I
know you didn't like Imogen.
No, I don't know what that family's value was. And I know what they did. You know, it was to bring...
indentured servants in.
Well, no. What's his name?
Argraeus.
Argraeus. Once they introduced Kara's character, Vin, once they introduced her, they brought her in, and she went rogue.
Yeah.
Went through her thing.
Like 20 minutes into the series, she's done.
I thought, okay, well, why do I care about their non-shipbuilding?
Yeah.
Like, so I think, I mean, Argaeus is going to play a big part. But, I think he's, I don't know what he's going to play. I don't know what he could do. That's the only reason they exist is to bring him in.
Well, he's in. And it's fractured.
Yeah.
So season two is going to focus on their journey.
Is he going to be able to keep his house?
He doesn't care about the house.
Yeah.
He's on a boat. He's gone. There's the house is there, but he's not there.
Yeah.
And neither is Imogen.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way they end it is very, like, And it kind of reminds me, and I don't want to say this because I don't want to set this set it up to fail, but it kind of reminded me of like early Game of Thrones vibes. Like after I finished season one of Game of Thrones, I was like, this is going to be good. Same thing with this. I'm like, this is going to be good. And this could be the replacement for fans of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
that's why it's receiving such a higher 87%.
There's probably a scratch to, or an itch that yeah. people need scratching, the Game of Thrones itch.
Yeah, and hopefully this gets the Galaxy War bump. But the one con that I had was, I guess I kind of want more recognizable faces.
The faces that we do have are barely recognizable.
Yeah, you know two people.
Yeah. Well, I know the character actors.
Tormelee's from Misfits. The yeah. blue-haired prostitute.
Yeah, but I mean, I know the... I'm trying to find their names. Breakspear, the father.
Yeah.
Absalom?
Yeah, Jared Harris.
Yeah, I know him from a thousand different things.
Oh, yeah, he's Moriarty in Sherlock.
Yeah. And a couple other people, but... Yeah, I don't... These Amazon things keep the production... Or keep it the price low by,
yeah.
Not you know when you're going to have a cast that has a thousand different people in it, like literally,
yeah.
You can't have.
Well, I'm not talking A-listers because I'm watching this and I'm like I'm assuming 50% of these people have been Doctor Who or something like that.
Yeah, yeah
but like yeah. if we're Charlie Cox,
yeah,
bring Charlie Cox into this realm, like,
yeah. I mean, like because this is something he could do. This is something he could slip into.
I'm someone who, like, I'll give shows chances based on, like, just their, you know, critic approval and, you know, storylines. But I also am drawn to recognizable faces. You know what I mean? I know Cara Devlin. I know Orlando Bloom. I like Orlando Bloom. Not a fan of Cara. Mm. And, like you said, you weren't going to watch this unless we put it on.
I don't think as many people are as divisive about Cara than we are. I think we're at the peak of you know, on the litmus scale, like, you know, I think we're you know, way on the other side of what a lot of people think about her.
Yeah, and that's
I true. Personally think that she's drug everything else she's been in down. She didn't drag this down. I thought she was good.
Yeah, I'm kind of changing my tone with her. Yeah, like, I'm not going to go out and see her next movie, but I'll watch season two of this with her in it.
Still think everything, I think her, whatever, her Enchantress was the worst thing I've seen on TV.
Enchantress was terrible.
Yeah.
She wasn't good in Valerian.
No.
But maybe it's just because she's just given shit properties, and this is a good property, well, and she's shining in this one. Well, Valerian,
Dane DeHaan's...
Yeah, that was awful.
He's horrible, too, so...
Yeah, one of our most listened episodes.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. we did not do that any service.
Yeah, and, you know, also because whenever, you know, I'm on a Facebook groups, like I've said before, and... People always bring up Valerian.
How great it is.
Well, they talk about it. I'm like, it's just the worst thing it's ever... It's a shiny turd because it looks pretty. But,
yeah. Visually, it's beautiful.
You'll get to the space station where they shake hands with aliens. You're like, this could lead to something.
Yeah. Just watch it on mute.
No.
Yep, just watch it on mute. Where are you with your kind of rating? Are you... are you audience or are you critic?
I'm audience. I think this was... I personally think this was... If we're... You know, this is a versus episode.
Yeah.
We put a V in there, so we have to talk about it. And I think, for me, this was better than Dark Crystal.
I agree.
This is close to, like... This close to a 5.
Yeah, it took me maybe 8 minutes to get wrapped up in this, where Dark Crystal took me 2 weeks.
Yeah. The intrigue is there. I don't have any idea what's coming.
Yeah,
it's fresh. There's nothing like it. And I, you know, like I, my pro was how immersive the universe could be, and that could drive some people away. But I like the fact that they don't really care about, you know, who gets driven away by the depth of the, you know, some people could just be like, why waste your time on creating, you know, your own different, your own time scale?
Yeah.
Why not say a year? Why not say a month? Why not say Tuesday? But I like the fact that they didn't do that.
Well, it's very Tolkien-esque.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he just comes up and says, we're going to make Elvish.
Yeah.
And...
what is it? The Cimmerillion?
Yeah.
Universe?
Yeah, we're going to do this, and that's where we're at. And the way the series ends is, where do you want to go? And a character says, somewhere new. So you're going to see another world. And I think we've only seen Tir Nanog. We've seen...
We've heard of other stuff.
Yeah, we've seen the Borg. And
we don't know where the pact comes from.
Nope. We know a little bit about where the punks come from. Mm-hmm. We know that that was decimated. Mm-hmm. And we know where the little actors that Millbrook had
come from, the Nock.
Yeah. But that's it. But is the Nock Tierna Nock?
I don't know.
And that's gone. So I think we're going to see more. I think the world building is going to get better. And I think that this is going to... They got something over here at Amazon.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to watch. And you know, we'll wait with bated breath. Amazon has been pretty loose with their giving second seasons with certain stuff. Yeah. And then they cancel all their stuff. But
this is already confirmed for a second season.
Is it? No, yeah. Good.
Yeah, and we talked about this maybe an episode or two ago, who wins the, you know, the war of the streaming networks. And this is another cap, feather in Amazon's cap.
Amazon's making a big jump. Yep. for taking over that spot. Yeah, so.
And they got Expanse coming back. They got Jack Ryan's coming back with John Krasinski.
Which I didn't watch any of, but...
Oh, you'll like it.
Yeah. I read all Jack Ryan's books. I don't know why I didn't watch the show.
Yeah, he's good in it. It's I think it's only 6 episodes. So I think you'll like it. But that's our episode. The last thing I want to talk about, which is going to be our next episode, is Joker.
Yep.
We're going to do an over-under. Critics are saying 90 mil. Where are you at?
I'm going to take the long shot and say under.
Okay.
The only reason I'm going to say under is I've already had 5 different people come up to me and say, you know, cops are saying don't go to theaters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean...
Yeah. We live in a fear-based society.
Yeah,
and
we unfortunately live...
in an active shooter society.
Yeah. Where it's not... You know, oh yeah, that could definitely happen, and it probably will happen somewhere, because I don't believe in this stuff, but I just think, like, you know, you breathe it into existence by saying it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the way the world is now, and the way social media is, and the way these stupid shooters are, that's what they want to do. They want to be the one that was like, oh, I did it.
Yeah.
So
you're going under?
Under, but not by much. Like, I still think it's going to be number one.
Yeah, I think it wins this week. Definitely going under, too, because of that same thing. I was at a barbecue with my family over the weekend, and they said, you know, you going to see any movies soon? And I said, oh, I'm going to see Joker. And they're like, oh, well, there might be a shooting. You need to be careful. Give it a couple days to breathe, which I won't. I'm not going to give it a couple days to breathe, because I feel like that's when everybody's going to, you know, if that's kind of the tone. If they're, I don't know. I'm not.
I've made it through literal active war zones without being shot, you know, in Philadelphia. So
Yeah. We did a live show in Kensington.
Yeah.
So if anything, we're going to survive the Joker premiere. But that's it. That's our episode. Support us on social media. Galaxy Wars everywhere. Support the network.
Somebody just left us a good review, and I know we didn't discuss it, but I want to give a shout out to actually a friend of mine, Joe Manning, left us a good review on iTunes. So.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
And so be like Joe and leave us a review.
Absolutely.
5-star only, though.
Yeah. And, you know, talk to us on Instagram. We want some conversations.
Yeah, I try.
I got so confused when, before I watched the show, and someone was like, this is the show for you, hashtag Critch. I was like, what did I say? Are they talking about us?
Like, did you make a mistake?
Yeah, but we figured out what it was. But yeah, support us on social media, Galaxy Wars podcast and everything. Support the network. And we'll be back with our next episode, which will be The Joker.
Yep.
Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.